Yes, it is a lovely morning, isn't it?
Now, more of the Morning Shift
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 7 a.m. here on this not beautiful Monday morning. I had to check the window behind me. This hour brought to you by Zero Risk, Smart Lasting Clean. It's the Morning Shift rolling on. Mike, Bo, just Squidbilly, not AKA Squidbilly. Mike Squidbilly and Nikki Noto Palmer. Now, we're going to talk about the Falcons in just a minute. We got some good stuff from Kyle Pitts. We talked to Darnell Mooney on Saturday night. He had some really interesting things to say. But Nikki, this story you told me a minute ago.
Oh boy, we're going
about,
there.
About James Harden and you making it official with your now husband of 10 years, Michael, former Atlanta Falcon, Michael Palmer, one of my teammates, is incredible. So let me try to set the scene for the people. Okay. I'll let you take it away. You're working sidelines, or you're working a game at Arizona State.
Right.
Out in Tempe.
Home of James Harden.
Right, home of James Harden. And you had been, I don't know, just friends with Michael at this point.
Yeah, we were casual friends. He was playing. I was traveling every week. The cool part, we both had the same off days, so that was always cool.
Right.
You know, you guys were off Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah.
I'd fly in on Sunday, so it worked. But yeah, I was covering a game, and... Sorry, it's
this
just time
so
is wild. It's so like
so <good. laughs>
it's so out of left.
So
field.
Jealous of this story.
So working Arizona State game. The funny part too is like we went and we did a basketball game at Arizona State, and it was James Harden night, and everyone was given beards to put on.
Yes.
And so this is, you know, probably 2012 maybe. Mm. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Fast forward. So I'm on the sideline, and we had just interviewed James again. You know, once at the basketball game, once now at the football game. And then he comes up to me and he's just talking to me and he's trying to shoot a shot, right? He's
he's
hey,
intrigued.
Girl,
he's
you
intrigued.
Single?
Yeah.
And we're talking. And then finally, like, it was just, I got to the point, I was like, look, like, I've got a boyfriend. He's like, oh, you do?
Yes.
And I said, yeah, I do. He's like, well, what's he do? And then I was like, and it just felt so cringe coming out of my mouth.
Like, he's an NFL
at
player.
At this point, Michael and I are just like, we're texting. Like, I don't even know if we had gone out, like, really out yet. And I was like,
right.
I mean,
no dates at this point, probably.
Maybe one,
maybe
you know,
one.
Casually, whatever. I was like, well, he plays for the Atlanta Falcons. He was like, so? He's like, which one is he? And I was like, oh my gosh, so, we're going here.
His name's Tony Gonzalez.
And it just, I'm like texting Toby on the side. Toby, like, so sorry, girl. Like, I just.
Sorry.
No, but I was, and he didn't care. He just kept like persistent.
Of course,
yeah. Get out.
I love that.
And I don't think I told Michael the story until we were official, maybe. But I was like, hey, so I basically said you were my boyfriend when you weren't my boyfriend, just to get James Harden away from me.
Incredible. I was hoping that it was going to be like,
and
that's how we became official.
If only
I texted Michael and I said, I just called you my boyfriend.
I think we became official when I think Mike, you were there, or maybe you weren't. Your teammates were, but. I was, you know, we were hanging out. It was after a game, I think, and we all went out, and Michael tossed a tater tot from across the bar into my mouth, and I caught it. It was about 20 feet. I was very proud of it.
Wow. 37 Main in downtown Buford. What an incredible spot that place is.
I'll tell you what.
I think that sealed the deal.
Places where dreams are made.
If only James Harden played with that sense of urgency in elimination games in the NBA playoffs, he might have a ring on his finger.
You had to do it. You had to do it.
I can't help it. I'm not, I mean, like, I can't help it.
Does a lot make sense after that?
Dude, that's so
a lot. You see where his priorities are.
So jealous of that.
Which is okay. Look, I mean, hey, do your thing, but.
Man. Anyway.
All right. Hard pivot. Speaking of Atlanta Falcons tight ends, I guess. That's
there you
the pivot
go.
Right there.
Kyle Pitts.
Kyle Pitts visited with Andy and Randy on Friday. And look, man, he talked about what Kirk Cousins is like. And have you ever played with a quarterback quite like this?
Yeah, I mean, like you say, we're not going to do the comparing game.
No.
But
him,
I would say him and Matt are pretty similar in terms of, you know, taking charge of the team, being in that veteran role and knowing, you know, where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be, so he, you know, you can preserve yourself and not run into any headaches. I think Desmond did a great job of, you know, his first year starting and, you know, doing as best he could and, you know, trying to get as many wins as he could.
He looked, Kyle Pitts looked very, very happy on Saturday night. You and I were kind of watching from a strange angle, but all the things you hoped that Kyle Pitts could do with Kirk Cousins, it seems like that was playing out in front of us.
Yeah, he looks a lot like he did come out of Florida. Right now, for me, he's very explosive. He's you know, the ball placement is where he can make these catches, and they look wild. I mean, he had one on the sideline Saturday at second year high school when we were there. That was phenomenal. And you know, I think we were talking with Arch, and Arch is like, "Look, and if you're Kyle Pitts, it looks like Matt Ryan walking through the door again."
You love to hear that.
Oh, you know, you do, Nikki, because you go back to 21 and look what he did with Matt. And that was the best year of his career.
Yep.
It was also the last time that he had a full year of being healthy for the most part.
Yep.
But you just got to think that this is going this year could be huge for Kyle Pitts.
It has
forward.
To be.
Nikki, I want to know real quick before
we right?
No, it does. You're right. But you know what?
That's such a good way to put
that's
that.
So right.
I want to just ask you real quick, and we're going to move on and get some Darnell Mooney sound. But you were obviously around the Falcons for a couple of years and interviewed players and talked to guys like Matt Ryan and Tony. And who was the best? Listen, you don't have to say my name. Take my name out of it. Take your husband's name out of it as
oh,
well.
Oh, I never interviewed Michael. That's yeah. a big joke because he was like, there were way more important people
for
to me.
Sure. For sure. Who was the best interview back then? Like, what personality did you
Mud
love?
Duck.
That's my guy. That's my guy. Tom McClure was the GOAT.
He was great.
Oh,
I mean,
man, there was nobody better to
talk
to.
Gosh, he was awesome. Obviously, Matt.
Did you ever do Brett Romberg? Brett Romberg was, oh, man, that guy was so funny.
I don't think I interviewed him. Roddy White, I mean, Curtis Lofton.
Yeah.
Gosh,
that's a good name.
You know, the 5-0, he was one of the best.
Yeah.
Curtis Lofton was a great dude.
He, you know, I don't know if y'all keep up with him anymore, but I love seeing him and Jenny and like his whole sweet family right
now. Is he back in Atlanta?
He's in Oklahoma.
Yeah, I thought he was.
He's super plugged in over there. But yeah, those are probably some of my favorite.
Thomas Dekou, maybe?
Yeah. Oh, Dekou.
Yeah.
Gosh. I just remember his smile.
Yeah.
He was always
cheesing,
smiling,
always
cheesing.
Look, I want to talk a little bit about Darnell Mooney. We got a chance to catch up with him after practice on Saturday. Bo and I did. And look, man, I this was a really intriguing answer because we asked him about, hey, what was the timeline like and when did you know you wanted to play with Kirk Cousins?
Very excited. I mean, from the QB1 or whatever it was on Netflix.
Yeah, the quarterback?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I grew so much respect from then. And then, you know, late December – are kind of like ending and whatever, and it was like speculations of Kirk coming to, you know, Atlanta. I'm like, shoot, if I don't end up staying in Chicago, I want to go to Atlanta with Kirk. So I kind of made an early decision before, you know, free agency or whatever happens in Chicago. And Kirk is amazing. He's an amazing player. He's an amazing person. He's funny. I didn't know he was that. Sometimes he thinks he's the funniest person. He has some dad jokes, but he's pretty cool, man.
He is pretty cool, and he's also a pretty good thrower of the football like he was on Saturday night.
I like how he worded it, though, because he didn't give anything away. But let me translate for it. Kirk texted me and said he was coming to Atlanta, and I said, yeah, if that money's right, I'm there. And it was, and he is. And,
yeah, me too.
and that because that's what I heard, because he's like, oh, yeah, if I don't stay in Chicago. So if Chicago doesn't offer me more, I'm gone. And, you know, I don't want to step on what we might be talking to, but I just thought it was amazing. He was like, yeah, the ball comes out quick. He trusts us. You know, he just says, go do your thing, and I'm going to hit where you're supposed to be, and I trust you'll be there. That's what a veteran – that's what Desmond Ridder didn't bring and Marcus Mariota
sure.
didn't bring. Is
you
that,
can't as a young guy. It's hard to when you haven't had success on, you know, yourself. Guys
yeah.
don't know if they can trust you or not.
But, well – yeah, they're waiting. They're waiting for that moment. Kirk's putting the ball there, and you're going to be there. And that's the difference. And that's why when people talk about can they pass protect, I have faith that they can. Because I don't think they'll have to pass protect as long as they used to, honestly.
Yeah, Nikki, I think you'll respect this, too. When he walked up, and I can't remember, Bo would be able to tell you the 40 time. And I'm not comparing these two at all. So if you're out there listening, that's not what I'm trying to say. But when he walked
someone's
up.
Someone's still going to say that's
know,
what you meant.
I know. It always happens. But when he walked up, frame-wise, I was like, this guy's got a frame kind of like a Julio Jones frame. Just as far as you can tell, he is extremely fast. You've seen Julio
Predator.
Before. Julio's yeah. like shins had veins.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it looked like a roadmap. And when Darnell Mooney walked up, I was like, that's the kind of guy you can look at and you can say, I know that guy's really fast.
Yeah, you're like, I've seen this before. I think I know how this plays
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
I know how I want this to play out.
Bo was reading out the 40
times. I think offense has a real chance to be fun to watch this year.
I think so too. And when you talk about being able to take the top off the defense like we talked
sure.
Darnell about, man, it was a lot of fun. Now, granted, you might have to outscore some teams because you wonder what you're going to get off the edge and at the cornerback position. But nonetheless, we also talked to Darnell Saturday night about, look, man, you go into these meetings, you talk to Kirk Cousins, you break down film, man. What's that like?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's amazing. And he lets you be you as well. I mean, he's just like, I'm just going to trust you. Like, it was a ball yesterday that he was like, look, I didn't see you. I haven't seen you, and I'm going to continue to throw this ball. And we're like 19 for 20 on it. So I'm going to continue to gain his trust, and hopefully he can continue to be whatever. Like, throw that thing up to me when he doesn't see me.
I think that we have seen this play out. I don't know about how much with Darnell Mooney so far, but definitely Saturday night, Bo, when we saw Kyle Pitts, it was like those two were completely on the same page. And you and I have talked about it. Some of the things that we did not see last year, back shoulder throws, hitting guys in stride, catching the ball and running, maybe even breaking a tackle once they get the pads on. We didn't see any of that last year. Darnell Mooney kind of talked about with us, but we got to see some of that in person Saturday night.
No, it's hard to catch the ball and run when the ball stops you and then, you know, in those situations, or it's in a double coverage because it's a two-man route, which I'm getting tired of saying, so I know that the fans were tired of watching it last year. But 19 of 20 on a ball that he's like, I'm just throwing it to where you're supposed to be, whether I see you there or not, and you'll get there. That's wild to think. But Kyle Pitts, and Nikki just said this offense has a chance to be really good and really fun. Yeah. I mean, yeah, and it's also a fun offense to watch because he's bringing what Kyle and Sean McVay have ran for all these years, and obviously Mike Shanahan's system, and that you, and now you see these weapons, and you go, "Oh, I'm glad Arthur Smith stockpiled all these weapons that he never used because now we've got them, and they're all fresh for the most part. And look what we can do when we run it a little bit more wide open."
Yeah,
you know what? I don't care where the defense is at right now.
Nikki,
score points.
Do you remember?
Are you sure about that?
Well, we'll just outscore them, right?
We'll
shootout.
Right. 45-42. We'll take it. Nikki, do you remember the Friday Night Lights from back in like 2010, 2011?
Yes, because Mookie, Matt Moore, used to always make fun of me.
Where was that at when you were
around? For the emphasis of how I would say Friday Night Lights.
Friday
it was
Night
a Flowery
Lights.
Branch High School, right?
Did we do one at Flowery Branch
High
School? I know
High
we did
there,
one when
there,
I was there at North Gwinnett.
There was one at Flowery Branch High School, I'm pretty positive.
I remember that.
North Gwinnett, Gainesville, we did one.
Yeah, they used to just pick a school. In fact, it was
North Gwinnett.
It was always in that area because people were like, why aren't they coming to the south side? And I would tell you, because the whole point is to ride like a bus down there. And it's just kind of hard on a Friday night to take a school bus from Flowery Branch to McDonough. You know, it's not easy.
No worries. We did it to Dalton High School, which was not fun. Nonetheless, that was one of the longest days of my life. Look, when we come back, man, we're going to go in the huddle, talk about some NFL news. Tua Tagovailoa stepping in front of that crowd and saying, show me the money. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
We're going to get on down now.
We're talking all things Atlanta sports and beyond. This is The Morning Shift.
Make some noise!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, Bo, and Nikki Noto Palmer hanging out with us here on this Monday morning, talking all things Falcons, Braves, the craziness around Ronaldo Lopez. We're all kind of holding our breath to see what news comes out with Ronaldo Lopez today. We'll get in the huddle in just a minute, talk about some of these NFL contract extensions and the stories going on with training camps. Nikki, I got to get to tell this story real quick, though.
No, boy.
Because this is great. This is great. A couple of my ex-teammates involved in this. So you were just telling me the very first fight that you – and if you're just tuning in, look, Nikki is married to one of my old teammates, Michael Palmer, who was a tight end for the Falcons for 4 years, I want to say. I don't want to misquote his year range right there, but we played for a while together, right? She was just telling me that one of their very first fights involved her fantasy team. So did you make a mistake as far as who you put on your roster?
Look,
or what
Mike,
happened there? Was there jealousy involved? Or no?
Here's the thing. Michael and I are both very competitive people. Okay.
I mean,
I know I didn't play at the next level sports wise, but
that's
I'm
okay.
a very competitive person.
Yeah.
Perfect times. I'm a state champion for Alta. You know what I mean?
There you go. Yeah.
So that's my claim to fame. So Michael, I was drafted my fantasy team and we had just started dating, I guess, or maybe we had been together for a year, putting together my roster. I want to win.
I'm just seeing this Excel spreadsheet. You know what I mean? It's like all these number crunching going on.
Right. So I want to win. So I draft a tight end. Well, I drafted Tony. I mean, like, you know, they were
the man that your boyfriend/husband sits next
backup
to every day.
Yeah.
And just also happens to be extremely good looking. I'll just say that.
So, he backed Tony up, but I took Tony and drafted him as my first tight end. And, well, that didn't go over well, Mike. And when I say it was our first fight, he was legitimately... He was legitimately angry with me, and I'm like, "Why?"
He was a little perturbed that my.
Why aren't you supporting my desire to win? Because I don't want to lose.
Yeah, and if anybody knows that Tony's going to get numbers, it's his backup. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, come on, dude.
So
like, you know the deal.
I love you, honey. If you're listening.
Yeah, that's
probably
all right.
Not.
I love
okay.
you too, honey.
But anyway, that was our first fight, and sadly, after that, I felt like he just stole my joy with fantasy, and I just take a break.
That was the last time you ever did it. You don't do fantasy anymore.
I haven't played in a
Y'all
minute.
Should co-own
no.
a team.
Don't let some man
PTSD
steal your joy for fantasy football.
Well, look, I have to go to bed with him every night. You know, we share three children, we share a home.
Yeah.
So
gotta keep the man happy.
Had to play my cards right.
Well,
now.
Maybe you should do a joint team with him, then he can pick the tight ends and you get to pick everybody
that's
else.
That's a great compromise. In fact, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, what tight end would he take?
Oh, he's taking Kelsey. He's definitely a Swiftie.
Hey, maybe he's a George Kittle guy because he likes a guy that can block a little bit.
So we watched receivers, and he's always loved George Kittle. That's what he's like. I always liked his style of play.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
So he was
How do
a big
I know him better
Kittle.
Than you, and you're his teammate? Come on, Mike.
I love
it was,
the guy.
It was his style of play. You know,
that's
like,
what it
he
is.
Just, he, yeah, he liked watching him. So,
all right,
anyway.
let's go in the hole.
Bring it in close.
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings.
Within the huddle on the morning shift.
Show that man his money. Tua Tagovailoa getting his bag over the weekend, let's call it. And look, $212 million extension. And I've said it before. It's not a secret. Tua is one of my favorite college players of all time. Obviously, being a Bama guy. I don't know.
That's what's up, Roll Tide.
I don't know how you feel about it.
I feel
all right, that's enough. That's
one
think,
more?
No. One an hour. One an
I'm
hour.
I'm going to sneak another one in there.
My wife, obviously, Bama grad as well. Her favorite is probably Jalen Hurts for obvious reasons. She just – he stuck with it. You know what I mean? He came back when the team
He is
him.
A great story.
Great story.
Yeah.
Right? But Tua gets his money, $212 million over 4 years, $53 million average annual value that makes him the third among NFL's highest paid quarterbacks behind Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow. A lot of guys getting that money. And then, look, you flip around and Jordan Love does it just a minute later. But Tua Tagovailoa, worth the money in your eyes, Bo? You know how I feel, so I'm going to go ahead and get your opinion on it.
He's a starting quarterback that is a good starting quarterback in the NFL. And so, yeah, it's worth the money. That's what the market is. I've always said you get market value if you're a good player. He got market value. Needs to stay healthy. That's not his fault that – you know, guys up front at times have let him
careful,
get hit.
Very careful.
But see, this is where we go off the
doing.
Track.
I'm just telling you, be careful.
So yeah, I think two is worth it. I'm questioning the fact if Jordan Love is worth it at this point after only honestly a half a good season. I will say this though, I do not like how Tua handled himself at practice the other day, screaming on the microphone, "Show me the money."
It's a little bit strange.
That's cringe.
I'm not sure that it comes off. I don't think it came off the way he thought it would come off, and I don't think I don't think that moment was a representation of him as a human being.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But someone needs to be interested. Yeah, don't ever do that again, dude. Because you look like a jerk when you do that.
Yeah, and I think he thought, okay, it'd be a funny movie quote moment. You know, kind of like quoting a Will Ferrell movie or something. But when you add all the factors in together, Nikki, I felt the same way. I said that to you earlier. I go, I don't know if. And somebody asked me. They said, man, I wonder if that's cringe for his teammates. And I'm like, not his team. His teammates don't care. His teammates are like, man, that's awesome. But in saying it in front of the fans, it was a little bit like, I don't know.
Takes likability down just a smidge, and I love him. Roll Tide.
I don't think anybody questions that Tua is a good dude. Yeah. It just was a funny situation where you're like, golly, dude, like dial it down a little bit.
Dylan, you ever seen Jerry Maguire? You ever heard of Jerry Maguire?
I mean, was Tua born when it came out?
Came out in like 96,
I think. Yeah, it'd have been right around the same time.
But Dylan's 27. He's never seen it. Now, I know Day-Day has seen it because, you know, Day-Day, we watch TV, a lot of TV together. Not together, but, like, same stuff.
Bo has, like, a love affair with Day-Day.
Day-Day is my dog, man.
I know he is.
My boy.
Anyway, what's
cool.
Jordan?
I'll say this. I made some custom shoes for Falcon season that I got on the Nike thing.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
You made.
Did you put your initials on it?
No, no. They had a thing where you could design the Air Force Ones.
You customize them. The Nike ID, if you will.
Yeah. I made them like Falcons colors and everything.
I have one question.
Now, hold on a second. Before I clicked order, I was like, Day-Day, these shoes look good enough? Did I do a good job? He's a sneaker guy.
I mean, Day-Day's starting to get a little weirded out, man. I'll be honest with you. He's like got that look on his face.
No, he's a sneaker. Day-Day, are you not a sneaker guy?
I'm slowly becoming one, yes.
So he helped me order them, yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm going to come to Bo's defense. He showed me the sneakers as well. He did a very – they look good. They look real – I would get them. I would wear them.
I got one question. I think I know the answer to this. I'm just hoping maybe I'm wrong. Do they at – anywhere on the shoe say Squid Billy?
They don't.
Missed opportunity.
They don't.
I don't know I don't know that.
If it had said Squid Nation, I was going to actually go to my car and actually go home.
I didn't see that option on the shoe. Yeah. I would have probably done it if I'd have seen it.
I am wondering though if Bo is slowly becoming a closet sneakerhead though. I think he's getting there.
Oh man!
Is that what you would do if you got a big contract like Tua?
Buy shoes.
Well, yeah.
This man would have started his own shoe company.
What would you do?
I would buy
Squid Souls.
I would buy a golf course, and then I would start my classic car collection.
Okay, are we 9 holes, 18?
Oh, 18. I'd 18. Just buy the place I live now. I'd be like, I'm buying this. If I won the lottery today, I would buy the golf club that we live at and a part of, and I'd be like, this is mine now.
This is mine. Everybody go home.
Yeah, you guys can't play during the weekend.
What would you do, Mike?
I don't know.
It's like the equivalent of the lottery.
I mean, it kind of is in a lot of ways, to your point. Now, the good thing is he plays in Miami, tax haven down there, if you will. So
he's
actually getting a lot more zeros than probably a Jordan Love is getting
for sure
in that same situation. I don't know. I would probably do a lot of the same. My question would be, if you did buy like your neighborhood, and you can answer this question too, would you like invite your family to kind of live near you? You know what I mean? Say, hey, I bought this home. You know,
very specific, certain family.
Yeah, certain family. I feel the same way.
I would move. Well, my parents would never move, but they're like an hour away from us.
Yeah.
I might move them.
Give them
like,
a vacation home.
I might move them. I might be like, hey, you come stay here on the weekends, or I might put them 20 minutes away. I need distance, all right? My mom and dad listen all the time, but I love my family being close, but I also love my arms spread out a little bit, if that makes sense.
No, I think that's fair. Real quick, we'll get into it. And obviously, Jordan Love, like you said, gets the big contract, $220 million, a little bit more than Tua. He's going to be making $55 million, $75 million signing bonus. He made a comment saying, I'm ready. And then, look, this kind of leaves Dak Prescott out there as a guy who's still trying to get his zeros. Obviously, Dak Prescott will be asking for more money. He gets an offer on the table, don't really have any specifics, gets the offer Friday along with CeeDee Lamb, but Dak's got to be looking at 60 at this point, right?
It's why it's so dumb what the option quarterback in Dallas has done, the Patrick Mahomes of owners, as he called himself. Why are you waiting? Because the price is only going up. Yeah.
He's doing the read option, is what he said.
Well, at some point, you got to pitch because that linebacker is breathing down your throat and he's going to put he's going to knock you in the dirt. So maybe pitch the ball, also known as giving the bag to Dak. Because he's going to do it.
Back to Dak.
At this point, you're only going to get two of that three signed. And which two are you picking?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Hey, when we come back on the other side, we're going to talk a little bit about the Braves, the latest on Ronaldo Lopez, who we expect to be on the mound throughout this week. Big week in Braves baseball. And also, we'll get him mic'd up. Watching the balance beam portion of the Olympics yesterday with my wife, and I almost thought she was going to punch me dead in the eye over one question I had about the balance beam. I'm sure that every married couple has this conversation during the Olympics. Don't want to miss that. That's coming up on Mic'd Up on the other side. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Good morning.
Yeah!
Back to more of the Morning Shift.
With Tiffany, Mike, and Bo on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Matt Olson waiting at 0-1. He hits this deep to right field. Second deck. Three-run bomb. Matt Olson.
That's Matt Olson hitting a tater yesterday that probably would have flown out of Truist Park. Hitting the first time this year he's hit home runs in back-to-back games. Beautiful thing. That does sound courtesy of Brendan Gaudin at Bally Sports. And also this hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, last, and clean. Bo, I wondered Saturday morning if we were seeing the absolute season demise of the Braves after Thursday and Friday. But they answered the bell with Spencer Schwellenbach on Saturday. And then a good start until it wasn't for Arnaldo Lopez yesterday.
So the funny thing was, as I was watching, that would have been on the Chop House, the top of the Chop House, that ball he hit. But
which
I was
is a sneaky good place to drink. You know what I mean? Sneaky good place. The one at Turner Field, the top of the Chop, great place.
Look, I was sitting there watching that game, and I go, oh, this would be, you know, this would be a great moment for Matt Olson of 2023 to show up and hit a three-run bomb.
Loved that guy.
And, yeah, we all did. And he,
well
and he,
said.
And you know the best part was is that he struck out in the first, and he showed more emotion, and they even mentioned it on the broadcast.
Frustrated,
ever see from Matt Olson. Yeah. And then he hits that home run, that three-run, I mean, just the bomb of bombs, and no emotion. I mean, pretty much back to Matt Olson, but let's go back to Saturday, what you mentioned, Mike. Spencer Schwellenbach, and they talked about it. So Dave O'Brien had it in his article that went out this morning or late last night about how they were like, that was everything for our team. We needed that performance so badly. And he goes out and throws 7 innings, 11 strikeouts, no walks. He's the exact opposite of Bryce Elder in that fact that he strikes guys out and doesn't walk guys. And that's when Elder's, you know, bad Elder or good Elder, that's bad Elder is when he can't locate and he's walking guys. But that's, I mean, striking out 11 guys is phenomenal. But he kind of steadied you. He goes, you know what? The ship has a couple of leaks in it, 6 straight losses. I'm going to get us back on track. The last 2 games of this series is more of what we need. They scored runs the entire series, basically.
Yeah.
I think they had 2, 4, and then 4. I believe they scored 4 or 5 on Saturday, and then, 9 yesterday. We need more of that, but the Schwellenbach start, I feel like, just righted the ship a little bit. Just kind of put everyone back to neutral about how they felt.
The Ronaldo Lopez leaving after 3 innings, and by the time Brian Snicker took to the microphone after the game, he made mention of the fact that Ronaldo Lopez is already on the plane. Like, he's headed back to Atlanta to get imaging. And, Nikki, I'll bring you in to look, it just feels like this team just snake bitten. Like, you get the big win yesterday, but there's always, it seems like this team, like, there's always a caveat of, man, what a massive win. But, Lopez is on a plane on the way back. So,
yeah,
just stinks.
I feel like we said it earlier that this is the week, right? Like, this is the week. This is the stretch. Brewers coming up. Like, we're going to see what they're made of.
Yeah.
With all the bumps and bruises, Band-Aids, whole 9 yards.
And to your point,
it's rough.
I think they also this week need to see a move or two made by management, by Alex, we know will do something just to say, hey, we don't care about these injuries. We're not giving up. And I think people forget, everyone gives us Jock Peterson energy stuff, but the moves that they made with Rosario and Soler and all these guys at the end of that season, and Duvall, what it really and at the trade line, what it really did was said, hey, we still have a chance. Let's start playing right because I'm going to give you everything you need. And if you give a couple things, the only thing I would say is I've hammered the drum of stop talking about starting pitching. It's not a need. It might have became a need yesterday, which is scary because that means it's more expensive. And Garrett Crochet has already said, hey, you want me? You want to trade for me? I'm not starting in the postseason unless I get a new contract.
Yeah, Double A's got about, 34 hours before he's got to make those moves. All right, so we don't have a wake-up call today, but you can get us on the Twitter at 929 Morning Shift. And the reason we don't have a wake-up call is because coming up at 8 o'clock, you will hear from Phil Still, college football expert that everybody knows that Phil Still knows college football better than anybody. We'll talk to him about all the craziness going on, expansion, NIL, the Georgia Bulldogs, Kalen DeBoer at Alabama. Bo wants to talk about Florida's tough schedule, and we'll do all that, obviously, coming up at 8 o'clock. So if you've got any questions for Phil Still, you can hit us up at 929 Morning Shift on the X.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
All the Roll Tide crap I've heard this morning, and I want to ask a question about a tough schedule.
You've been very kind.
Pipe down over there.
We can take it up a notch if you want us to.
I was going
to
say,
that's
gentle. Test my gangster.
All right. We'll see.
All right. Let's hit a mic'd up.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up
on the Morning Shift.
I feel like everybody every person has their, like, you know, their event when they watch the Olympics that they have to see. For my wife, it is gymnastics. Now, I think every married couple probably has a back and forth like this, but I could not understand how mad my wife was yesterday watching gymnastics with me.
I'm already on her team, okay. And I haven't heard
I
it.
I know. That's the problem. That's the exact issue that I'm talking about. So here's what the question was. We're watching the floor routines, right? Which the floor routines are, it's an art. You know what I mean? Like you're dancing around, you're making it look good. You're doing the weird, like, kind of, you know, slow motion break dancing style stuff on right. the ground. And
it's a routine, to gymnastics,
right? Yeah. It's a routine. So when it comes time for the balance beam, here's I'm trying to make this sound good because I don't want anybody to come after me because it's going to sound bad, but I don't mean it. I'm just telling you, I don't mean it in a bad way. I was genuinely curious, all right? So when you're watching the balance beam, I'm like, why does this have to be a routine? Why does the balance beam have to be, like, artistic? Why can't it be like the vault or like the uneven bars where there's not, like, an artistic element? Because a lot of times on the balance beam, I'm watching it and it just looks like wasted effort. And when I said wasted effort, I thought my wife was going to levitate off of her seat on the couch.
Are y'all done
and
having kids?
Fold
Mike?
Me up. We are now. We are now. I thought she was going to fold me up. She looked at me and she was like, "Do you think that's easy?" And I was like, "I just not what I'm saying. I'm just simply saying, like, do we have to do, like, why can't you get on the balance beam, do some flips to one end, flip back to the other end,
well,
do a couple
transition.
Cartwheels and dismount?" I know, but, like, does it have to be a transition? Can't we just, like, get right to the nitty-gritty? Why do we have
dancing.
To have the artistic element?
You're dancing, but it's on an elevated surface
yeah.
with specific points that they have to execute, right?
And that's all I'm saying is, why is it like that? Why is it not just the acrobatics and then you're judged on whether or not you can do the acrobatics?
So that's the combo,
yeah.
right? That's the combo. There, it's the dance and then it's the acro on... Yeah. an elevated surface.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to just the dance and you watch floor.
That that was kind of her point.
Too.
She was like, you know, it's an artistic expression, okay? It's an artistic expression. I was like, I'm not saying it's not. All I'm saying is, why do we have to have the point where they switch their feet and do a little baby toe touch in the middle of the balance beam? Why can't they, you know, cartwheel, flip to one side, do whatever they're going to do back to the other end, and then have a dismount? Like, why can't we just be judged on that?
This isn't foreign to the Olympics, though. I mean, you go to the Winter Olympics, and, you know, ice skating is the same way. Like, I was watching that Tonya Harding movie, and she kept getting bad scores because they didn't like the music she played skated to. They didn't like her outfits, you know.
Isn't that wild, though?
Well, yeah, it is, but that is – you. It might be wild, but you know that when you get into it. Like, it's not – they know what they're getting into. They know what they have to do. They know that's the way it is. So why do you want to, you know, simplify it to the back down to what you want it to be? This is what they want it to be.
Well, I
mean,
and I guess, and look, it's been like that forever. I guess my only point is you have the vault.
The
you
vault.
Have the uneven bars.
Yep.
You know, you have certain things that are just showcase your skill.
Like pummel horse, if we're going to go there.
Of course.
What is that?
When you talk about the men, when you talk
what
about...
What is a pummel horse?
You're basically breakdancing on an elevated
right.
surface.
Oh. Right. And of course, for the men gymnasts, it's all about, you know, shoulder strength and everything like that. But I just don't know why we don't, in the balance beam of all things, get to the nitty-gritty. Like, why can't it be like the vault to where you're just showcasing your skills? Why does it have to be right. like an absolute routine?
Mike, I definitely get what you're saying because I was thinking the same thing too yesterday, but I think part of it is too, and it's part to Nikki's point, like the elegance and the grace of being able to balance, because when they're doing those, like, transitions,
the
when they're doing the fillers.
I love how you put the quotes on that.
They're in specific poses, too, to keep that balance and making sure they can, you know, do those transitions elegantly and keep that balance and all that stuff, too. So I think that's a little bit part of it as well.
Yeah. In the Meathead Olympics, you would have your way.
Well, that's what was funny, because as soon as I brought this up, and I know that y'all, both of y'all's relationships are probably the same, but as soon as I brought this up, my wife's like, "You couldn't do that. What are you even talking about? You couldn't do it. You couldn't do the little transitions." And I'm like, "Of course I couldn't." She's like, "Your big old feet be flooding off the side of this thing."
Skis.
You know what I mean?
Nikki.
Like those scuba flippers you got for feet, you wouldn't be able to do any of that.
Nikki,
I was like, I mean, just calm down. Like,
the first time I saw this guy go down the stairs, I go, "Why are you walking like that?" Because I didn't understand, because I got small feet. He's like, "What do you mean?" I go,
"Turn to the side."
"Why are you turned to the side walking down the stairs?" I was like, is there a problem?
It's a hazard.
He's like, "My feet won't fit on the stairs."
get to just go shop for my husband at normal
no,
stores.
No, you can't do that.
What size
absolutely
are,
not.
I mean, this I is a random question. You probably wouldn't think I'd ask you, but what size are your husband's feet?
Is he 15? Is he 14?
He's about 14.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Jeez.
We got to head to break.
Special order those Nike IDs, though.
Yeah. You go. Hey, live special up that order. Nike Elite site.
No discounts live. On our end.
Do they charge it more? Because that's like two of my shoes.
It's like two shoes.
This man's got Squid Nation written across the soles. All right, we're going to head to break. We'll get Phil Still coming up on the other side. If you want to get at us on the X at 929 Morning Shift, if you got any questions for Phil Still, hit us up. It's the Morning Shift live with Bo, Mike, and Nikki Noto Palmer. Rolls on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Good morning.
Yeah!
Back to more of the Morning Shift.
With Tiffany, Mike, and Bo on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Matt Olson waiting at 0-1. He hits this deep to right field. Second deck. Three-run bomb. Matt Olson.
That's Matt Olson hitting a tater yesterday that probably would have flown out of Truist Park. Hitting the first time this year he's hit home runs in back-to-back games. Beautiful thing. That does sound courtesy of Brendan Gaudin at Bally Sports. And also this hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart, Last, and Clean. Bo, I wondered Saturday morning if we were seeing the absolute season demise of the Braves after Thursday and Friday. But they answered the bell with Spencer Schwellenbach on Saturday. And then a good start until it wasn't for Arnaldo Lopez yesterday.
So the funny thing was, as I was watching, that would have been on the chop house, the top of the chop house, that ball he hit. But
which
I was
is a sneaky good place to drink. You know what I mean? A sneaky good place. The one at Turner Field, the top of the chop, great place.
Look, I was sitting there watching that game and I go, oh, this would be a great moment for Matt Olson of 2023 to show up and hit a 3-run bomb.
Loved that guy.
And, yeah, we all did. And he,
well
and he,
said.
And the best part was is that he struck out in the first, and he showed more emotion, and they even mentioned it on the broadcast.
Frustrated,
ever see from Matt Olson, yeah. And then he hits that home run, at 3-run. I mean, just the bomb of bombs, and no emotion. I mean, pretty much back to Matt Olson. But let's go back to Saturday. What you mentioned, Mike. Spencer Schwellenbach, and they talked about it. So Dave O'Brien had it in his article that went out this morning or late last night about how they were like, that was everything for our team. We needed that performance so badly. And he goes out and throws 7 innings, 11 strikeouts, no walks. He's the exact opposite of Bryce Elder in that fact that he strikes guys out and doesn't walk guys. And that's when Elder's, you know, bad Elder or good Elder. That's bad Elder is when he can't locate and he's walking guys. But that's, I mean, striking out 11 guys is phenomenal. But he kind of steadied you. He goes, you know what? This ship has a couple of leaks in it, 6 straight losses. I'm going to get us back on track. The last 2 games of this series is more of what we need. That they scored runs the entire series, basically.
Yeah.
I think they had 2, 4, and then 4. I believe they scored 4 or 5 on Saturday, and then what 9 last yesterday. We need more of that, but the Schwellenbach start, I feel like, just righted the ship a little bit, just kind of put everyone back to neutral about how they felt.
The Ronaldo Lopez leaving after 3 innings, and by the time Brian Snicker took to the microphone after the game, he made mention of the fact that Ronaldo Lopez is already on the plane. Like, he's headed back to Atlanta to get imaging. And Nikki, I'll bring you in to look. It just feels like this team. Just snake bitten. Like, you get the big win yesterday, but there's always, it seems like this team, like, there's always a caveat of, man, what a massive win. But, Lopez is on a plane on the way back. So,
yeah.
Just stinks.
I feel like we said it earlier that this is the week, right? Like, this is the week. This is the stretch. Brewers coming up. Like, we're going to see what they're made of.
Yeah.
With all the bumps and bruises, Band-Aids, whole 9 yards.
And to your point,
it's rough.
I think they also this week need to see a move or two made by management, by Alex, we know will do something just to say, hey, we don't care about these injuries. We're not giving up. And I think people forget, everyone gives us Jock Peterson energy stuff, but the moves that they made with Rosario and Soler and all these guys at the end of that season, and Duvall, what it really did, and at the trade line, what it really did was said, hey, we still have a chance. Let's start playing right because I'm going to give you everything you need. And if you give a couple things, the only thing I would say is I've hammered the drum of stop talking about starting pitching. It's not a need. it might have became a need yesterday, which is scary because that means it's more expensive. And Garrett Crochet has already said, hey, you want me? You want to trade for me? I'm not starting in the postseason unless I get a new contract.
Yeah, Double A's got about, 34 hours before he's got to make those moves. All right, so we don't have a wake-up call today, but you can get us on the Twitter at 929 Morning Shift. And the reason we don't have a wake-up call is because coming up at 8 o'clock, you will hear from Phil Still, college football expert that everybody knows that Phil Still knows college football better than anybody. We'll talk to him about all the craziness going on, expansion, NIL, the Georgia Bulldogs, Kalen DeBoer at Alabama. Bo wants to talk about Florida's tough schedule, and we'll do all that, obviously, coming up at 8 o'clock. So if you've got any questions for Phil Still, you can hit us up at 929 Morning Shift on the X.
What's wrong with you? Yeah. All the Roll Tide crap I've heard this morning, and I want to ask a question about a tough schedule.
We've been very kind.
Pipe down over there.
We can take it up a notch if you want us to.
I was going
to
say, no.
That's so gentle.
My gangster.
All right. We'll see.
All right. Let's hit a mic'd up.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up
on the Morning Shift.
I feel like everybody, every person has their, like, you know, their event when they watch the Olympics that they have to see. For my wife, it is gymnastics. Now, I think every married couple probably has a back and forth like this, but I could not understand how mad my wife was yesterday watching gymnastics with me.
I'm already on her team, and I haven't heard
I know. That's the problem. That's the exact issue that I'm talking about. So here's what the question was. We're watching the floor routines, right? Which the floor routines are, it's an art. You know what I mean? Like, you're dancing around. You're making it look good. You're doing the weird, like, kind of, you know, slow motion break dancing style stuff on the ground. And
it's specific to gymnastics.
Right? It's a routine. So when it comes time for the balance beam, here's I'm trying to make this sound good because I don't want anybody to come after me because it's going to sound bad, but I don't mean it. I'm just telling you, I don't mean it in a bad way. I was genuinely curious. All right, so when you're watching the balance beam, I'm like, why does this have to be a routine? Why does the balance beam have to be like artistic? Why can't it be like the vault or like the uneven bars where there's not like an artistic element? Because a lot of times on the balance beam, I'm watching it and it just looks like wasted effort. And when I said wasted effort, I thought my wife was going to levitate off of her seat on the couch.
Are y'all done
and
having kids?
Fold
Mike?
Me up. We are now. I thought she was going to fold me up. She looked at me and she was like, "You think that's easy?" And I was like, I that's not what I'm saying. I'm just simply saying, like, do we have to do, like, why can't you get on the balance beam, do some flips to one end, flip back to the other end,
it's
do a
transition.
Couple cartwheels and dismount? I know, but, like, does it have to be a transition? Can't we just, like, get right to the nitty-gritty? Why do we have
dancing,
to have the artistic element?
You're dancing, but it's on an elevated surface with specific points that they have to execute, right?
And that's all I'm saying is, why is it like that? Why is it not just the acrobatics and then you're judged on whether or not you can do the acrobatics?
So that's the combo, right? That's the combo. It's the dance and then it's the acro on an elevated surface. Yeah. Like, if you want to just the dance and you watch floor.
That was kind of her point.
Too.
She was like, you know, it's an artistic expression, okay? It's an artistic expression. I was like, I'm not saying it's not. All I'm saying is, why do we have to have the point where they switch their feet and do a little baby toe touch in the middle of the balance beam? Why can't they, you know, cartwheel, flip to one side, do whatever they're going to do back the other end, and then have a dismount? Like, why can't we just be judged on that?
This isn't foreign to the Olympics, though. I mean, you go to the Winter Olympics, and, you know, ice skating is the same way. Like, I was watching that Tonya Harding movie, and she kept getting bad scores because they didn't like the music she played skated to. They didn't like her outfits, you know.
Isn't that wild, though?
Well, yeah, it is, but that is – you. It might be wild, but you know that when you get into it. Like, it's not – they know what they're getting into. They know what they have to do. They know that's the way it is. So why do you want to, you know, simplify it to the back down to what you want it to be? This is what they want it to be.
Well, I mean, and I guess, and look, it's been like that forever. I guess my only point is, you have the vault. Have the uneven bars.
Yep.
You know, you have certain things that are just showcase your skill.
Like pummel horse, if we're going to go there.
Of course.
What is that?
When you talk about the men,
what is a pummel horse?
They're basically breakdancing on an elevated surface.
Right. And of course, for the men gymnasts, it's all about, you know, shoulder strength and everything like that. But I just don't know why we don't in the balance beam of all things get to the nitty-gritty? Like, why can't it be like the vault to where you're just showcasing your skills? Why does it have to be like an absolute routine?
Mike, I definitely get what you're saying because I was thinking the same thing too yesterday, but I think part of it is too, and it's part to Nikki's point, like the elegance and the grace of being able to balance, because when they're doing those like those transitions, when they're doing the fillers,
I love how you put the quotes on that.
They're in specific poses too to keep that balance and making sure they can, you know, do those transitions elegantly and keep that balance and all that stuff too. So I think that's a little bit part of it as well.
Yeah. In the meathead Olympics, you would have your way.
Well, that's what was funny because as soon as I brought this up, and I know that both of y'all's relationships are probably the same. As soon as I brought this up, my wife's like, "You couldn't do that. What are you even talking about? You couldn't do it. You couldn't do the little transitions." And I'm like, "Well, of course I couldn't." She's like, "Your big old feet be flooding off the side of this thing." You know what I mean?
Nikki.
Like those scuba flippers you got for feet, you wouldn't be able to do any of that.
Nikki,
I was like, I mean, just calm down. Like,
the first time I saw this guy go downstairs, I go, "Why are you walking like that?" Because I didn't understand because I got small feet. He's like, "What do you mean?"
I go, "Turn to the side."
"Why are you turned to the side walking down the stairs?" I was like, "Is there a problem?"
It's a hazard.
He's like, "My feet won't fit on the stairs."
Look, I don't get to just go shop for my husband at normal stairs.
No, you can't do that.
What size?
Absolutely not.
I mean, this is a random question. You probably wouldn't think I'd ask you, but what size are your husband's feet?
Is he 15? Is he 14?
He's about 14.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Jeez.
We got to head to break.
Special order those Nike IDs, though.
There you go. Hey, live special up that order. Nike Elite site.
No discounts on our end.
Do they charge it more? Because that's like two of my shoes.
It's like two shoes.
This man's got Squid Nation written across the soles. All right, we're going to head to break. We'll get Phil Still coming up on the other side. If you want to get at us on the X at 929 Morning Shift, if you got any questions for Phil Still, hit us up. It's the Morning Shift live with Bo, Mike, and Nikki Noto-Palmer. Rolls on Sports Radio 929 The Game.